Blog Talk Radio.
Call Genesis the first chapter. According to Genesis, the first chapter, it says, when the Almighty created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, the first law that the Almighty gave any living creature, you'll find it in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the 11th verse. Would you read that, sir?
Genesis chapter 1, verse 11?
Yes.
And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth tender grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind.
In other words, all the grass, all the trees, and all the fruit was commanded by the king of the universe to multiply after its own kind. You didn't know that the grass had sense, did you? You didn't know that the fruit trees could take commandments, did you? You didn't know that every living thing on this earth shook and trembled at the voice of Yah. And when he told these living things to multiply after its own kind, that is just what it did. And not only did he tell all the fruit trees and everything to multiply after its own kind, the Almighty in the book of Genesis told everything that he created to multiply after its own kind. So even before there was a man on this earth, because man was not even created until the sixth day, even before man came forth, the Almighty had already gave the commandment to every tree, every plant, every grass, every animal, every fish, and every fowl to multiply after its own kind. And then after the Almighty made man, who he made to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, over the cattle and every creeping thing that he had made, then he gave us a commandment to not even allow these things to be integrated. He told us not to integrate them after he told it not to integrate itself. He told us not to integrate it, I believe, in the book of Deuteronomy, the 22nd chapter. According to Deuteronomy 22, I want you to read 9 to verse 11. Read.
Deuteronomy, the 22nd chapter, 9th verse. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds.
After he told the grass and the seeds not to multiply after any other kind except its own kind, not to integrate at all, then he told us not even to sow our fields with diverse seeds.
List the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown, and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled.
He said, list the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown, and the fruit of thy vineyards be defiled. And the Almighty did not want his earth defiled. And integration brings about defilement. Keep reading.
Thou shalt not plow with an axe or an ass together.
Thou shalt not even plow with an ox or ass together. Since they're dumb beasts, we won't even let them think that it is meant for them to be integrated. We don't even want a dumb ox or a jackass or a mule or a horse to even think that it was meant for them to integrate together with one another. So therefore, don't even plow with an ox and ass together. Don't do that. Finish reading.
Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts.
Don't even take no cotton and linen. Don't even take a garment of any diverse sorts.
as a woolen and linen together.
The Almighty does not want us to integrate anything. As a matter of fact, that is the reason the Almighty destroyed the earth with a flood. And that is the reason that he destroyed it, because we were integrating. And you can see this if you turn to the book of Genesis, the sixth chapter. We have all wondered and asked ourselves, what was the great sin? What was the great transgression that was committed on earth that made the Almighty destroy the earth with a flood? Mind what were those people's iniquities? What was their sin? What were they engaging in that provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger? Well, they were engaged in integration. If you read the book of Genesis, the sixth chapter, read the first three verses.
Genesis chapter 6, verse 1.
And it came to pass.
And it became to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth.
Now notice, and it came to pass, that meant in a process of time, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth,
and daughters were born unto them.
Don't cut me off no more, son. And daughters were born unto them, that Yah did what? Go ahead.
That the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they had chose.
The sons of Yah, or Elohim, saw the daughters of what? Men, that they were fair. Now, fair could mean beautiful, it could be light, but we saw that these daughters were fair, and the sons of Elohim saw that these daughters, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. Now, let's consider this, what we're reading. Because the Christians of the New Testament will teach you that these were not literal men, that the sons of Elohim were, in fact, angels. And they would like you to think that these were angels that came down from heaven, and they just saw the daughters of our daughters, and they were just so pretty to them that they came down and started marrying our daughters. That's what the Christians in the New Testament would like you to think. As a matter of fact, that is precisely what is written in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. But I want you to know that that is a point-blank, bare-faced lie. These were not angels that came down. Let's consider a minute. Were they saying that the only angels in heaven were all men, and that there were no female angels? And are they also saying that these angels that came down began to have babies with human beings because the women were just so fine, and the Almighty cursed man or these angels and cut their lifespan down to 120 years? Well, let's think about what this is saying. It says, it came to pass in the process of time, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all that they chose. And Yahweh said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his life should be what? 120 years. So if these were angels that were being cursed, then what would be the age of angels today? 120 years. That means that Gabriel died centuries ago. That meant that the archangel Daniel died centuries ago. That meant that the archangel Raphael had died centuries ago. And we know that that is a lie. The scriptures disprove that altogether. These angels does not die. They haven't died. And none of the angels have a lifespan of 120 years. He's talking about the sons of Cain. The daughters, or should I say, when he said the sons of Elohim, he's talking about the sons of Seth and the sons of Adam through his seed, Seth. That's what he's speaking of. And when you talk about the daughters of men, you're talking about the daughters of Cain, the ones that were fair. And we started integrating with these people. And let's start at the beginning again, and let's read all the way down, because the great first sin was integration, and then you'll see what happened after this integration occurred. Start reading at 1 again.
And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And Yah said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also flesh. Let his days be 120 years.
Yet his days shall be 120 years. Go ahead.
There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of Elohim came in unto the daughter of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And Yah saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Only evil continuously. Every abomination that was on this earth, our people were committing. From integration on down, we turn our backs on all the laws of the Most High. Keep reading.
And it repented Yah that he had made man on the earth.
It repented him.
And it grieved him at his heart. And Yah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the birds of heaven, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yah.
Yah, Noah found grace. So I was letting you know that the first great sin that man committed when the earth was destroyed was integration. Integration. That's why he destroyed the earth with a flood. And then after the flood, when men came back together, that's why the Almighty separated mankind. As we will read in Genesis, the 11th chapter. Read the first few verses there. Yes.
Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of few words. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and bitumen for the mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto the heavens, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And Yah came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And Yah said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will hinder them from anything they purpose to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So Yah scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city.
All right, so when the Almighty came down, he destroyed the city and the Tower of Babel. And then the first thing he did was confound their languages so they could not understand one another. And after they couldn't understand one another, did he leave them together? No, he scattered them upon the face of the earth. He scattered them. So today we find that the people are still scattered. Today we find that the people are still speaking different languages. Today we find that the people still cannot understand one another's speech. And today we find that Yah still changes not. The wind changed, the season changed, you and I changed, but Yah changed not. According to Malachi 3 and 6, it said, I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You're not consumed because my mercy endureth forever, and I never change. And if the Almighty never changed, then you know that he is still against integration. Why would someone who claimed they're Israel claim that they're integrating because they don't see any laws against integration when every law in the scriptures is speaking out against integration? If we turn to the book of Numbers, the 24th chapter, I want you to start reading first, Numbers 23. As when Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel. First thing, and know that you cannot curse whom Yahweh has blessed. And why did Yah bless us? What is the great reason that Yah blessed us, and what was the blessings that Yah bestowed upon us? We're going to read this. According to Numbers 23, I want you to start reading at the 8th verse.
Numbers 23rd chapter, 8th verse. How shall I curse whom El hath not cursed?
So a lot of people, they're afraid of these witches and sorcerers and diviners and enchanters and people with familiar spirits and spiritualists and voodoo people. They think they can be cursed. Yes, you can be cursed if you're not the Almighty's chosen people. You can be cursed if you're not the one that the Almighty has as the apple of his eye. The other day, Jesse Jackson was cursed. The scripture says in the book of Psalms, the wicked watches the righteous. The wicked watches the righteous, and he seeks to destroy him. But Yahweh would not leave the righteous in the hand of the wicked, lest the wicked put forth his hand to do iniquity. In other words, they've been studying Jesse Jackson, been following him, been bugging his phone, been keeping up with Jesse Jackson and everything that he's been doing. Not only Jesse Jackson, every black man in America that's a potential leader, right now he's being watched. His phones is being bugged. Surveillance is around him. They want to know what he's doing and what he's saying. And that's not only Jesse Jackson, but that's every potential black leader in America. And when they catch you doing something, don't think that they're going to put it in the paper. They're going to keep it until they use it. And then they'll use it at the time that's to their advantage. They knew Jesse Jackson had that baby at the time Jesse Jackson conceived it at the hospital. They knew about it. Them white folks been knowing Jesse Jackson's business over 2 years. You had a young fella in Cincinnati with his one of his followers named Reese says that he knew he had the baby those 2 years. Not only he did, all the people that were close to him. And if you know, we know some, Whitey know it. Because if we know anything, we going to talk about it. Anything y'all know about me, y'all talk about it. And if y'all talk about it, Friday going to hear it, because the scripture said there's nothing that can be hid from this devil. Nothing. and you don't hide nothing from him. So he knew that he had been dealing and had a baby. But he couldn't use against him until he found it was necessary. Do you know the day that they got ready to release Jesse Jackson had a baby? They were releasing the same day that they were trying to confirm the nomination of a fella named John who?
Ashcroft
for Attorney General. A known white racist. A man that had been meeting with white racist organizations for years. A man that don't think that he don't do no good for some blacks now, and he hadn't helped blacks, because everything that the white man has, he got by the three D's. The three D's is called divide, deception, and deceit. So will he lie under oath? Sure he will. See, everything, he'll do any and everything to achieve his goals. If he has to proclaim war, if he has to steal, if he has to kill, if he has to lie, if he got to deceive you, if he got to befriend you, if he got to promote you, anything that's necessary for him to win by deception and what? Deception and what? Deceit. He will divide you. And this is how he has conquered the earth. So this man has did some good for blacks. He appointed some black judges. He did this for black men. And he did this against black men. But as a whole, when you look at his record, he got to look at him as a racist, as he is. And the day that he was going to be nominated and then have it confirmed where everybody questioned him is the same day that a magazine called National Enquirer had it on their front cover. They already had the magazine printed. Jesse Jackson was already on the front cover. And the magazine was going to be released within a matter of hours. And you know what happened? That's when Jesse said, I better beat him to it and confess. Well, if he was smart, if he had a humble heart, if he had a contrite spirit, he would have confessed when he did it to the world. He'd have had to humble himself. He'd have had to drop his head. He'd have had to tell the truth. But he could have went on and looked good. But no, he's going to live a life of lies and deceit and try to hide some from the devil. And when the devil picked the most opportune time, he said, I'm letting it out. So Jesse was forced to go out public. And now all the tension was away from what's going on in the Senate to Jesse Jackson. Everybody talking about Jesse Jackson. I first personally felt sorry for him. I felt sorry for him because I admire any man that makes a mistake and is ready to go on after his mistake. And as I told you, there are so many ways to be a fool, you can't miss them all. Some of our young girls that make mistakes, and they have babies. And when they make mistakes, we want them to do the right thing and be a good mother, go on, get your education, pursue your career, and accept your responsibility. It's not all lost when a person makes a mistake. But confess you made a mistake, confess you did something wrong, and try to go forward with it. All only thing you can do then is tip your hat to a person like that. But don't try to live a lie. And that's what Jesse was doing. He was living a lie. And then he was caught. And I was so upset at our people falling in a bag for talking about Jesse like a dog all day, all night long, and was totally distracted from the real issues, what's affecting our people every day. And now Jesse was their scapegoat. And I just hate to see our people fall in the hands of their enemies. I think they should have went on about the business and then come back and beat up Jesse another day. I'm not trying to defend him, but it's a time for every time. everything under the sun. Now it's not a time to beat up your so-called leaders. Now it's time to get about your business and don't let the devil distract you and what you're trying to get done. Our people were totally distracted. They fell into the white man's hand, and now they're beating up their leaders in front of Whitey, and the foolish Jesse Jackson made it possible. Don't get me wrong, even though I feel sorry for him, the man is a fool. But anybody that wears the title Reverend is a fool. Anybody that calls himself by the Almighty's name is a fool. Anybody. Might it be your granddaddy, your daddy, your uncle, it don't make no difference who it is. Whoever wears the Almighty's title is a fool. The word Reverend only appears in the scriptures one time, and that's in Psalms 111 chapter, the ninth verse, where it says, he sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. And these preachers are calling themselves by the name of Reverend. And the thing it is, Reverend is not even a name. Reverend is not even a name. A name is a noun. The word reverend is not a noun. That's not a name. It's an attribute. So in the English language, what would reverend be called today? An adjective or an adverb? Huh? Well, we'll let y'all get y'all books when y'all get home so y'all can find out. Because all of y'all to know, it's not a noun. The word reverend, it's not a name. It means, who got that concordance? The word reverend is to be had in awe, to be feared. You understand? So that's like speaking of a great attribute. That's reading it said, reverence his sanctuary. Reverend means fear. And what is the word fear? Is that an adjective, a noun, or an adverb? Oh, my gracious. Oh, my. We ain't going to let this brother know. What is it? A verb. And how do you know that the word reverend is a verb? Because you look it up in its accordance. And what does the word reverend mean? Nobody have it? Well, I ain't going to take time. Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. And that's what the word is. And these foolish preachers around the country, they're calling themselves reverend. There's no reverence in the Bible. Only one reverend. And that's not his name. He said holy and reverend is his name. In other words, holy and fear is his name. Because the Almighty only has one name. His name is not the Almighty. That's an attribute. His name is not the Most High. His name is not the Holy One. His name is Yah. That's his name. The Everlasting Father. These are all titles and attributes. Yes, ma'am. Well, we'll deal with that, but I'm teaching a lesson right now. I'm not going to deal with, be distracted right now. I'm dealing with integration, and I just wanted to point out what the word reverend is, and any man that wears that title is very foolish. So we know that he's a fool, but I still felt sorry for him because I hated our people to get trapped in the game that Whitey plays on our people. But I admire the man taking care of his family, and I admire him coming publicly stating that he loves his daughter and he's taking care of her. And that's good because he can go on. But now they're going to investigate where did he get the $40,000 to get her, to give her, where he get the $10,000 a month. Is that coming out of that nonprofit organization that he has? And if so, he's in bad trouble. And he's jeopardizing everybody that's associated with him. He's jeopardizing everybody that's affiliated with him. He's jeopardizing the cause of everybody he represents by merely being a very foolish, simple individual, as we know all of these so-called reverends are. But getting back to our lesson, Numbers, the 23rd chapter, as I said, I want you to read the 8th to the 10th verse. Go ahead, dealing with integration.
How shall I curse whom Elohim have not cursed?
How can I curse whom Elohim has not cursed? In other words, you can't. If Yahweh has not cursed you, then no man can curse you. No man can hurt you. That's when Yah said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Go ahead.
Or how shall I defy whom Yahweh hath not defied?
How can I defy? How can I defile whom Yahweh has not defiled? How can I defy whom Yahweh has not defied? That's what happened in Marin and Aaron, didn't it? They tried to defy whom Yahweh has not defied. And you always get the bad end of the stick when you do that. So the best thing to do is quit trying to do that. Don't try to defile whom Yahweh has not defiled. And don't try to defile whom Yahweh has not defiled. Keep reading.
For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone.
Israel, the Almighty said, we should dwell what? Alone. That don't mean go integrate. If the Almighty wanted us to integrate, he wouldn't have separated us and told us to dwell alone. See, you don't have to be a nuclear scientist to find out the Almighty's totally against us integrating, not only with the seven families of Canaan, not only with the Moabites and the Edomites, not only with the nations that he specified in the scriptures, but for any nation he told us to separate ourselves from and to dwell alone. Go ahead.
Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be mixed among the nations.
We should not be mixed, and some of your Bibles say thou should not be reckoned amongst the nations. They don't reckon you and they don't mix you with no people, and you don't mix yourself. You want a wife, you find an Israelite woman in marriage. You want a husband, you find an Israelite husband. You don't find a heathen that don't know who he is and think you're going to go anywhere with him other than where our people is going. Man told me the other day in the shop, they were talking about Jesse so bad, they said, Lisa, we need you. Won't you go and be a leader? They ain't got no leaders around here. You be a leader of this people. I said, no, brother, I'm not a leader of this people. I'm a servant of the Most High. I will not be known or called a leader of the people that's the most hearted neck, stiff-hearted, rebellious people on the face of this earth, and you're going to call me their leader? Of people that eat swine flesh and mice? Of people that celebrate Christmas and Hanukkah? Of people that serve a hippie on a stick? And you're going to identify me as their leader? That's an insult. Keep reading.
Who can count the dust of Jacob and number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his.
Like he said, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. We are to be alone. Let's go to Exodus 33. If you want to know about integration and marrying with other people, I don't understand everything on this question, but I do understand that you want to have knowledge about that, and we're going to teach on that. Go ahead. I told you to go where?
Exodus 33.
All right, good enough. Start at the 11th verse.
Exodus, the 33rd chapter, 11th verse. And Yah spake unto Moshe face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the meeting tent. And Moses said unto Yah, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me.
You told me to bring up this great people. I know you. I know the Christians will tell you that nobody's seen you, and that you're a spirit, and that nobody's seen your form nor heard your words at any time, and all of Israel know that's a lie. We all know that's a lie, because the Almighty speak to Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And do you speak to your friend by turning your back, by running on the other side of the building where he can't see you, by jumping in a little hole, or speak underwater? No, you speak to him face to face, and that's how Moses spoke to Yah. And if Almighty was just a spirit, he wouldn't have a face. And the scripture said that Yah spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. But Moses said, Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and that I have found grace in my sight. Now notice what Moses asked Yah in the 13th verse. Read.
Now therefore I pray thee.
This is what I'm praying, since I'm so special to you.
If I have found grace in thy sight.
If I have found grace in your sight, said Moses, the greatest prophet that ever lived and ever will live, if I have found grace in your sight,
shew me now thy way.
Show me thy way.
That I may know thee.
I want you to show me the way that I may know thee.
That I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people.
I want you to consider and let the world know that this nation, black Israel, is your people.
And he said, My presence shall go before thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry not us up hence.
In other words, if you're not going to really be with me day and night and let your presence go with me, then don't carry us up no more. Don't carry us no further. Go ahead.
For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be distinguished, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth.
So what verse is that?
The 16th verse.
16th verse. For wherein shall it be known here that I and the people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated. See, Moses asked Yah to separate him. See, some of those funny Bibles, they throw little words in there that might think you're talking about one thing, but he's talking another. He's not dealing with just distinguished. He's talking about distinguished from the other people so much that you separated them from all the other people of the earth. And he said, So should we be separated, I and our people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And Yah said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. So what he asked him to do was to separate the children of Israel from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Almighty said, I would do this thing, and he did it. And some of us will still, after studying the scriptures, look and say, well, is there a law against integration? There are so many laws, and there are so many words that have been spoken against integration. Anyone that's seeking to understand the Creator knows that it is not the desire of Yah for us to be settled or integrated with any people of this earth. He separated us. He told us to be separate. And he told us to be different and peculiar. And we were set up and separated by Yah. So no, the Almighty is not in favor of us integrating. He's not in favor of dogs integrating. He's not in favor of trees and plants or animals integrating. The Almighty is not in favor of integration at all, especially by his holy people, Israel. I'll answer one more question and then I'll try to get on with some other things. Should we, Israel, read in or believe in anything written in the Holy Quran, including the prayers? Please explain the book to Israel and its purpose. Also, who is this Prophet Muhammad that Muslims worship? No, we should not be regarding the Holy Quran because the Almighty never spoke to his angels, to his prophets, or his people pertaining to the Holy Quran or the so-called Holy Quran. The Almighty never told us to read it. Now, the Holy Quran, if you knew it or not, is about the last so-called holy book that was written. It came after the Torah, after the Tanakh. It came after the Apocrypha. It came after the New Testament. That book was written after all of them. Now, when Muhammad had the book written, he said that it was a book that was going to take over where the Holy Scriptures left off. But you must ask yourself this one question. Why would the Almighty send to his people a book that has different laws, different statutes, different judgments than that which he has already given his people? And the laws in the Quran are totally the opposite from the laws in the Scriptures. I'll just take one law for case in point, the dietary law. Israel was told by the Almighty, he told us not to eat anything that is an abomination. He told us not to eat anything unclean. He told Israel to not eat a gorilla. No, we cannot eat a gorilla. He told us not to eat a chimpanzee, not to eat a weasel, not to eat a skunk, not to eat a dog, not to eat a hog. Matter of fact, according to Leviticus, the 11th chapter, and Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, there's a very extensive list of animals that the Almighty has set before us as unclean, including the various animals that I just mentioned. We were not to eat those animals under any circumstances. According to the Holy Quran, you can eat all of the above animals other than a whole. You're absolutely right. Would the Almighty turn around and have a book written called the Holy Quran, and in that book tell us that it's okay to eat gorillas and rats and bats and moles and weasels and catfish and shark and roaches and everything that we want to eat outside of a hole? The only animal that a Muslim is told that he cannot eat is a swine. But he is told in the Quran that if one is forced by necessity and not willfully disobeying the law, that he can even eat a swine. So what is that saying? Has the Almighty changed? According to the Quran, he has. He has went from holy to being unholy. But we know that that book is not the Almighty. We know that the Almighty never gave his people any allowances to eat roaches and bats and gorillas and snakes and dogs and hogs and cats. We know that. So we know that that book is a book of folly. And then look at the thing that if one is forced by necessity, he can eat a hog. That's to say, well, a hog is unclean according to the Quran. It is filthy according to the Quran. It is an abomination according to the Quran. But if you don't and can't do no better, and you're forced, you better eat it. Don't call on me because I can't help you. What was the Almighty's attitude? Was he more merciful? Yes, he's more merciful, but he is a creator. The Almighty said, don't eat a pig under any circumstances. He said, well, what if you're hungry? He said, under any circumstances. A truth is only a truth if it's totally consistent. If it's not consistent, it is not a truth. There is no contradictions in a truth. That's the reason you know that is not a truth, where the Almighty would come back and say, if you're hungry and you're not willfully trying to disobey the law, it's okay. That's like saying, Alicia, don't steal, but if you're hungry and you can't do no better, it'll be okay under those circumstances, but only if you can't do no better. It's like saying, Alicia, don't commit adultery, but if you're somewhere and ain't no other woman around and you get hard up and you get a Jones on and you just can't do no better, it's okay. What they're doing is justifying doing wickedly. And when you serve the Almighty does not compromise his law because he's an Elohim that's a true and living Elohim. Who was it that said, I am old, I'm young? I think David said, I have been young, and now I am old. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. So if those that truly serve Yah, he will not forsake you. He won't put you in a position where you have to go against his law in order to survive. He'll make a way. We serve an Elohim that has made a way and that will make a way again. We serve so he will never put his people in a position to say, well, if you can't do no better, it's okay to eat a buzzard. It's okay to eat a gorilla. And it's okay to eat a... Matter of fact, they don't have to say if you can't do no better by the gorilla and snake. As I said, a Muslim can eat everything, every animal on this earth outside of a hog. But their Quran tells them that if they're forced, they can eat that. So we know that that is all folly. I could go on about the Quran, on and on, but a word to the wise is sufficient. The Almighty is not the author of confusion, and he would never send a prophet to come with another book that would make his word seem as if it was a lie. The Almighty said, I'm not a man that I should lie, neither the son of a man that I should repent. As I have spoken, so should it be done, and as I have said, so shall it come to pass. The Almighty is not the author of confusion. The Almighty will never put his people that serve him in a position where they have to eat things that are against his law, as is illustrated in the Quran.
I have a question about the Passover.
Alicia, explain Genesis 3 and 24. Does Yah mean in
speck, how can two people become one? Some of these questions I don't understand your writing. And if it was meant to be for a husband and wife to be one, why is it so hard for them to get along?
Okay, I guess you're saying if it is meant for a husband and wife to be one, as it is mentioned in the scriptures, then why is it so hard to get along? I have never met a couple who are like one. So I guess the writer is saying, Alicia, why would it say that a husband and wife are to be as one when I never seen or met a man and his wife that are as one? So let's read this so we can get an understanding of it. First, let's turn to Genesis 3:24, where this originates from. Then we go back to Genesis 3:24. First, we'll start with Genesis 2. I want you to read Genesis 2 and 18, sir.
Genesis, the second chapter, 18th verse.
Yes, sir.
And Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took a rib and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which Yah Elohim had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.
So what that is saying, the Almighty did not desire that man should be alone. In other words, if you're trying to please Yah, you would be trying to pursue a wife, because man was not meant to live alone. Man was not to be alone. Man gets in trouble when he lives alone. The kind of trouble he gets in, if he's living alone and he don't have a wife, he might mess with another man's wife. And he might be trying to make whores out of the daughter of Israel by sleeping with various women that he has no intentions in marrying. And he might even be attracted to another man if he left alone long enough. Because that's what a lot of fellas in jail do that's been there a long time without a woman. They start seeing young men walk in jail, curly head, fair complexion. They get to looking at them real funny. Cute, nice, shaped eyes. Their mind begin to play tricks on them. So it is not good for man to live alone. And of course, y'all know what happened to them Catholic priests that's been living alone. Y'all know that, don't you? You know what happened to those little altar boys. Y'all know that. That's a matter of public record. So regardless what you read in the New Testament about what Paul said, it is not good for man to touch a woman, such in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, you know that don't make no good sense, because the Catholic priests that try to follow the teachings of Paul, we too often read about how they've been sleeping with little boys. So we know that Yah must have been on it when he said it is not good for men to live alone. Therefore, he made him a helpmate. The helpmate he made for us is called a woman. And a woman is meant to be our wives. And the scripture says, what about a wife? There's a scripture that say,
He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and attaineth favor from Yah. Yes, a wife is a good thing if you know how to work with her, if you know how to be a partner with her, if you know how to cooperate and function as one unit with her. There's nothing better in the world than a wife. Because if a man chooses another man to be his buddy and start putting his money together, one day one of the fellas is going to run off with the money. You understand? But when you got your wife putting the money together, y'all are unified, because one day one of y'all going to have one of the babies, going to have babies. See, you can't have a baby with a man. And a baby allows to look like you and her. You understand? That's beautiful. That solidifies that family even closer together. This is the man and with his partner, and they working, and they got a bunch of little bitty things that look like them. You understand? That's depending on them, that need their help and support. So that begins to be beautiful. And then as you begin to be with one, then there's nothing, as I said earlier, that can be restrained from you, because Yah will bless you. The point it is that most men, and our fault men, don't look at their wife as an equal partner. And most men don't know what a man is. You all allow the white man to dictate to y'all what man is. So now you come home saying, I don't wash no dishes. I don't scrub no floor. I don't make up no bed. I don't cook no meal. I don't wash no clothes. I don't change no baby's diapers. Man don't do that. That's for women to do that. Where y'all ever get that from? Where in the scriptures did it say a man is not to help his wife? Where did it in the scriptures it say a man is not to cook? The best cooks in the world are men. Did you know that? The top shelves in the world are not women. Your top shelves making over $100,000 a year in all those top hotels are all men. Why? Because Almighty has endowed us with that ability. But we don't use it because we allow this sick society to brainwash us in believing that this is not men's job. The best designer, clothes designers in the world are men. But this sick society told you the men are not supposed to sew. Needles are not to be in your hand. You don't supposed to help your wife. You come when your wife get off work and she get off after you, the dishes should be done. The food should be on. You take over now, baby. I didn't brought you this for. Now you take over. You work as a family. A man used to, the best cook in my house was my daddy. And both of them tried the best they could, but my dad was just a better cook. I wouldn't tell my mama that. And if somebody, she heard his tape, she wouldn't like it, but my mama couldn't touch my daddy cooking. And he didn't mind big, strong, muscular man. He'd get in that house, take off his thing, and throw in his apron and get down. You understand? And me, because his main thing is, hey, I'm working the shift, and when I get off, I go, and then my wife get off at night, then she take over. But I got to cook for the kids. Some of you lazy, not some of y'all, but some lazy, trifling men in this society, if the wife ain't home, the kids don't eat. Open the can. I ain't going to cook. But mama said, what, Daddy? I know it, but it ain't meant for man to cook. Yeah, the can. Open up a can. You tell her to cook your food before she leaves. But Dad, she washed the clothes and cleaned the house, and she had to go do all the cleaning, and she working too. I don't care. That's not a man's job. That is so inane. That's the reason Almighty said, I'm the Elohim, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Y'all need to study those men. Those men love their wives. Abraham's wife was an old woman. He wouldn't put a young woman in front of her. Y'all been put your old woman in a, she'd be in one of my nursing homes. live in shelter somewhere with y'all, but no, y'all have the wrong interpretation of what a man is. A man would come home and see his kids hungry and get that thing and start cooking some food. That ain't, I've been a single man and I found out I wash clothes and it's a joy. So when I know how to wash the white ones and not put the dark ones with the white ones, I know how to cook, you learn all that. It's a thrill when you know you can do things for yourself. That's a blessing. But not for a scoundrel, it is. But a man do what is necessary to keep his household strong. So the Almighty said we're supposed to try to be one. So you always aim toward the stars. So if you fall, you still might land on the moon. But you aim high. The scriptures say where there's no vision, the people perish. You got to have a vision. So you aim to make your wife one. You aim and you work, you aspire to make her one with you. It might never be. Somebody never said, well, they're not like one. They're still different. He got a beard and she don't. There's always going to be differences. When he say they're supposed to be one, that don't mean that when he walk, she walk, and he got a beard, she got to have a beard, and they never have a disagreement. It don't mean that. It meant that they function together in a household as one person, and that one person is doing everything for the good of the family, for the good of them little girls, the good of them little fellas, the good for their welfare, their career, and their education. They're working for that. That's what one means, to work together as one, and that's the way the Almighty wanted us, and it's going to be hard. It's not for everybody. But the law is not for everybody. This law is only written for men and strong women. Remember what the law said in Ecclesiastes 12 and 12. My son, be admonished at making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is the whole man. A half man can't keep the law. A half man can't keep a holy Sabbath day. He don't know how. He will invariably start watching TV. He will invariably start watching football. He will invariably start talking, calling up somebody on the phone, talking trash and nonsense and things that's not pertaining to the glory of the Almighty. He will invariably do all these things because he does not yet control himself. He's not the whole man. But once he gets to be the whole man, as the scripture says, he that rules his spirit is greater than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit is greater than he that takes a city. The greatest thing a man can learn to do is to rule his spirit. I told something that wasn't altogether true the other day. I made a statement in the class and said that I only learned how to control myself and control my spirit by maturity. And there's nothing that I can say to make you young fellows have that maturity, and that's wrong. Because if you practice discipline your spirit, that gives you the ability and the spirit to be one with your wife, to not argue and fuss, without trying to fight and strike your wife, without trying to take your money and throw it away in foolishness. It'll make you want to do the right thing because you have total control of your spirit. So just because a man gets old don't mean he gets mature. You have a lot of young men that are very mature. Tyree in the Bible class was one of the most mature men that I knew, and he was mature for years. Even when he was a little young man in his early 20s, because he had learned something important that I taught, and that is how to control your spirit. So his wife never got beat up, never got knocked down. Not saying that she didn't deserve, no, I won't. But she never did. So she was living with a man that studied the Almighty's law and learned how to control his spirit. And once you control your spirit, then you control your environment. You control everything. And it's not through maturity. It's the studying the Almighty's word and learning how to control your spirit. Well, any questions on anything that I brought forth? Yes, sir. Any other questions from anyone? Any questions, comments? Yes, sir.
Wow, great class, brother. Great class.
Any other comments? Yes, sir. But go to Mike, because we got people that's trying to hear us around the country. Some of the things are good not to be heard, but then there are many things that aren't good to be heard. And we have to understand that when we come here for the on the Sabbath day, everything should not be for self. It should be for the advocation of the Almighty's word. And because from now on, every time we open a class, we're going to be going across the world. And people are going to be listening and watching what they hear us say in the house of Israel, because we represent the Almighty, because we are his people. And be confident of that at all times.
Hallelujah. I just wanted to say, like you said, you didn't want to be the leader of the people, but like the scripture says, and I'm just saying this, you know, like the scripture says that it's the leaders of the of this people that cause us to err. And like I've noticed, even with my niece, when her leader told them not to celebrate Christmas or whatever, then they did not celebrate Christmas. When he told them to do different things like eat swine and things of that nature, they stopped doing those things because their leader led them in that direction. And I'm saying, as the great wisdom that the Almighty has given you,
get ready to cut it off.
It would be great for, you know, I mean, it would be great to see you as a leader of the people, because Yah is our people's leader, and you and Yah, all praises to Yah, has chosen you to be, you know, I mean, to speak his word faithfully and lead us, at least this small congregation, and now as you've brought out across the world. So, you know, praise Yah.
Well, I'm a leader of the house of Israel. I'm the Almighty servant. I'm not the servant of a people that are sanctifying themselves in a garden behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and a mouse together. I'm not the leader of those people. I'm not the leader of a people half Democrat, half Republican, half Masons, half else, half crazy, half insane. I'm not the leader. I'm just a servant of the Almighty. I'm here to do his will, not the will of this people. Because if I did the will of this people, let me tell you what happened the other day in Cincinnati, Ohio. And the Christian community tried to hide it from me, but I found out about it. And some of y'all know about it. There's a church out in Lincoln Heights where the pastor been watching my program for the last 12 years on TV. And this pastor came into this big church, one of the biggest churches in Lincoln Heights. I won't even mention his name nor the church name, but half people in here already know about it. He told the church, we're not celebrating Christmas no more. He told them that Christmas is wrong. Santa Claus is wrong. The Christmas tree is wrong. And then quoted the Bible and told them what the Bible said about the Christmas tree, and told them they're going to have a tree burning ceremony at church together, and for everybody to get their tree. Am I lying, sister? To get their tree and bring it to the church, and we're going to burn them together. And let me tell you what the people did. They are as mad as H-E-L-L. They are mad, and they're talking about it all over the city. And all the one they didn't want me to find out about it is me. They didn't want me to hear about it. But when I got wind of what was going on, I conned them to tell me, and I found out about it. And it has happened before. Every time a minister tries to start doing right, the people won't let him. The people will chastise the minister. The people will tell the minister to just keep teaching the same foolishness you've been teaching. We don't want you to teach us the right things. We're not trying to keep the law. We want you to teach the foolishness like you've been doing and don't change. And they're mad at him now, real mad. And this was far prophesied in the scriptures that they would do this. If you would turn to the book of Jeremiah, not Jeremiah, but Isaiah. How many of y'all knew about that over in Loudoun Lincoln Heights? Raise your hand. Yeah, I just found out about it 2 weeks ago. But I got to go and meet the little minister. Yeah. I don't know if he might want to come to the whole truth or not, but he's trying to do good. But they are chastising him right at this minute that we're speaking. The 30th chapter. 30th chapter of Isaiah. Notice what it says. The 8th to the 10th verse.
Now go, write it before them in a table.
Now go, write it before these people on a table.
And note it in a book.
I want you to take a book and note it. And let them know that I'm making note of this thing right here.
That it may be for the time to come, forever and ever.
This is for the time to come, forever and ever. In the 19th century, the 20th century, the 21st century. This is for a time to come. Go ahead.
That this is a rebellious people.
That this is a rebellious people.
Lying children.
Lying children.
Children that will not hear the law of Yah.
Children that will not hear the law of Yah.
Which say unto the seers.
Which say to the ones that can see.
See not.
I don't want you to see no vision no more. See not.
And to the prophets.
And that walk to the prophets.
Prophesy not unto us right things.
Don't prophesy unto us no right things. I've been keeping Christmas all my life. I know it's fake, but we have fun doing it. We have a ball. Mama's over the house, sister, everybody coming from everywhere. We're having a ball. We don't want that stuff in this church. Go ahead.
Speak unto us smooth things.
Speak unto us smooth things.
Prophesy deceit.
Prophesy deceit. We're not paying you to tell the truth. We're not buying you a big Cadillac and that rose and them other big cars you drive to tell us the truth. You're getting all them clothing expenses and no clothing allowances and no vacation and no pastor aid clubs and everything because you preach deceit to us. And if you keep preaching deceit and teach us what we want to hear, we're going to give you more. But don't come talking at that law. Let that man on TV with the big head and the beard, let him talk about the law. Don't you come bringing that to us. We ain't in no house of Israel. This is a Baptist church here. And we want you to preach a Baptist doctrine. And this is what they're saying to the minister. And I feel sorry for Jesse. I feel sorry for this minister. I feel sorry because when they want to come out of this hole, they're not allowed to, because you have to understand that they pay these people's car note. They pay these people's children's tuition in school. They pay these people's house mortgage. And they still, on top of that, give them a big salary. And one of the reasons they got on the pastor was right, because here's what he did. He told them they can't celebrate Christmas. They can't have a Christmas tree. That's all wrong. They shouldn't be trading gifts with each other. But you know what he did? He let them celebrate his pastor's aid club. They still had the pastor's anniversary. And he still got thousands of dollars. And there's nothing in the Bible about pastor's anniversary. So they felt like if you're going to condemn Christmas, then condemn the pastor's aid club, condemn your pastor's anniversary, condemn the Father's Day, condemn all the other gifts that we're taking you. But don't you accept the gifts and the Christmas bonus. Oh, he took that too. He took the Christmas bonus. But he told them they can't celebrate Christmas. Now, this preacher out in Lincoln Heights, he was half wrong and half right. But you can't be half wrong and half right. You got to be all right or not at all. You understand? While we're on tape, we're going to let the people around the United States and around the world hear some real good singing. We're going to call up our choir and give you something to talk about. Come on up here.